The Institute of Medicine reports more than 100 million Americans suffer from chronic pain at a cost of up to $635 billion each year in medical treatment and lost productivity. In this edition of the Bioethics Channel, we introduce a voice of pain, Seth Haney. The interview took place September 2012 in Kansas City, Missouri.
I'm Seth Haney. I have lived the last 2 years with pain and looking forward to many more. And I am also a therapist, and I have a family of six kids and have a private practice, and so I am my own employer at this point.
Tell us how this all began for you, and briefly. And we understand it was an automobile accident. Talk to us about what happened.
Well, after a traffic jam, I got stuck in the middle of the highway with cars passing on each side, going fast, so I couldn't get over, and I ended up having to stop because of a stalled car. And one of the cars that was going to fly past us decided to change the middle lane and smacked into me and told my car, crushed the whole back end into me, and sent me into some state that I didn't recover from for about an hour. And then after the next day, I had pain everywhere and spent years trying to get rid of the pain. And a lot of that pain that I got that day went away. It was the neck, shoulders, and stuff. But the pain in my arms, the ulnar nerve in both arms, continues today.
So this started you in down a track that you'd never really anticipated, right? I mean, to think before that accident that you would have this kind of life with pain as a daily part of your life, that didn't enter the picture, did it?
No, I mean, I remember having pain for brief periods of time, and sometimes I thought it lasted forever when it lasted only a couple days. So the whole concept of living every day in pain and just having to accept the fact that I'm in pain and there's nothing I can do about it to some degree, that it never came to my mind. I never would have thought about it, and still sometimes I wonder if it's real, honestly.
What about the fact that this puts you into a system, of kind of a treadmill, I guess you could say, of a healthcare system where people didn't understand what you were dealing with, and it was hard to put a name on it or even a diagnosis? Talk about that.
Well, I remember my first experience with the frustration of the system came when I was talking with a physical therapist who was working on some of my neck injuries, and I complained about the hot and cold and the tingling in my arms, and she just totally said it's not possible. It couldn't fit into what she thought the accident could have caused. And so I remember that was one of the first frustrations. And then as it continued, and I talked to my doctor who was, worked with me a lot more, but vocabulary was hard to kind of explain it. And so then we went through many, many tests and many, many false leads, I guess is the best way to put it, where nothing turned out to be the diagnosis. Nothing turned out to be the issue, and passed on from one doctor to the next to do different tests and look at different areas of things. And I was kind of relieved when they told me I had like ulnar neuritis, but that's not really a solid diagnosis that can be shown on a X-ray, which was very frustrating to me. And as the journey continued, and finally somebody told me, okay, it's past 18 months, and that's about the time frame they told me that the nerves heal, so it's probably healed as much as it's going to heal, and you're likely to live the rest of your life in pain that can be managed. And so that's kind of leads me up to today, where I'm just trying to manage what I have.
But it was something where you had to go through down different roads that didn't take you anywhere, and finally finding someone who was able to understand where you were coming from whenever you were describing your ailment, your pain, whatever it was.
That's right. And finding that somebody they were able to start giving me those words. They would describe it, and I said, yeah, that's right. And so then we had this working conversation that led to, hey, you got ulnar neuritis. That's what it sounds like. It fits all the symptomology, and I had something to hold on to. But I went through months and months of frustration of waking up at nights because the pain would wake me up, and there's nothing more discouraging than going into the doctor you've been seeing for years and years and years, and he's saying, I don't know what we can do for you. And that was very discouraging.
And it's impacted a lot of your life, your family, six young children. You're how old? How old are you?
I'm 38 years old.
And so six children and having to live through this?
Yeah, you know, when it happened, my wife was pregnant with our sixth child. And so that first year, she had to take, even though pregnant, she had to take the brunt. We were moving houses. She had to take the brunt of doing things because I just couldn't handle it. I could do it for a little while, but the pain would increase to the point where it was awful. And then I wouldn't sleep at night, and then I was moody. And, you know, I had to withdraw several times from normal behaviors my kids do that I could handle, but I was so irritable that I couldn't handle those behaviors anymore. And that, as a specialist with children, that was even embarrassing for me to lose my temper when I don't normally lose my temper. So, and I know that that pain constantly nagging at the back of my skull as I try to put it all back there and just live my life, it had an impact that was very, very tough. And I also remember some of the other emotional impacts, such as, you know, wanting to hold my baby forever, wanting to, you know, just take care of her and let my wife have a break. I couldn't do it for very long without knowing that I was going to suffer a lot of consequences later, because as soon as I bent my arms, it would intensify. So,
what about hope? You've gone through this meeting tonight, and there are a lot of big plans and hope that we might be able to move forward and be able to provide relief for the millions of people that are in pain. What does hope mean to you, and what you'd be able to do in the years ahead?
You know, it's really a comforting thought to think that maybe we could get the medical community as a whole better educated, so that the first person I went to knew better what to do with somebody who might be having chronic pain, and either could help me or refer me to somebody immediately who could help me. Better ways to figure out how to move through the diagnosis process and eliminate things faster. I mean, those kind of things to me would have been wonderful, because I think people get very frustrated with the way things were. With my pain, you know, the whole concept of I don't know, being a part of this myself, I think is something that I've thought of really a lot tonight, and trying to work with pain, maybe as a professional in my practice and things like that. So, I mean, this meeting tonight was very inspiring in many ways.
But don't ask about the pain scale.
Exactly. I did not like the pain scale after a certain time, I tell you. All the time used. And I know I think it's important, and I even use it in my practice. But I always have it thinking about in the back of my head, how much validity am I getting from this? Because of when I was using the scale with other people, it meant different things at different times. And so I really felt like I was either lying or I was not being honest with myself, because it was different. And I had to have come some way to make it make sense to me. Because when you live with pain every day, it's different than when you stub your toe. I mean, it's a lot different. And you stub my toe, I can say, okay, this is a 10 right now. Okay, now it's 8. Okay, 7 and 5. But when the pain's consistent, you get used to some of it, and then sometimes it just is more than you can bear some days than other days. So the pain's different depending on my mood or, you know, the things that are happening in my life.
You've been listening to the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org. Practicalbioethics.org. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.